Jesus' mission includes foreigners, and his authority extends the casting out of demons. Some who witness Jesus' work are seized with confusion and fear, but the man who was healed is commissioned to give testimony to God's mercy and power. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And then Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of Gerasene, which is opposite of Galilee. As he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him and kept him under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven out by the demons into the wilds. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there, on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons had begged Jesus to let them enter them. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down a steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city and in the country. The people came to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found a man whom the demons had gone from was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. And then all of the people in the surrounding country of Gerasene asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had been gone begged that he might be with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming through the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. I recently came across this statement from Lutheran pastor David Loos. "Odd as it may seem, we often prefer the devil we know to the freedom that we don't." I can't think of a better way to describe today's gospel passage than these words. Today's story begins with Jesus and the disciples arriving in a country and immediately encountering a man who had been cast out of his community and driven into the wilds to live naked and alone among the tombs, surrounded only with the dead and the spirits that possessed him as his company. This man, who I imagine from reading the verses must have worn shackles on his wrists and ankles, must have been weathered from the elements, the isolation, and the torment of his demons. As Jesus and the disciples come to the shoreline, this bound and broken man comes to meet them. But he does not come to them on his own being. He is really just a mouthpiece for the demons inside. It says how he saw Jesus and he fell before him. The man, or rather his demons, knew who had washed ashore that day and that it was not good news for them. So they, or the man, fell before Jesus, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" They knew exactly who they were dealing with here. So they begged and pleaded not to be tormented. Jesus asked the name of the unclean spirits. The response was legion. Now, to give some context to this name, legion was a name given to groups of 3,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers. And to the people hearing this gospel story in Jesus' time or shortly thereafter, this would have been familiar of their and brought up their own realities of occupation and oppression under Roman rule. And to connect it back to the man, it paints a picture of an individual who is held captive and tormented by 3,000 to 6,000 demons. It is clear, as he is described before even talking to Jesus, or being used to talk to the Son of the Most High God, that the man is suffering. He has suffered for a long time. He has no one and nothing. Now, his community imprisoned him, hoping to contain the unclean situation. And then those spirits broke those chains that at least allowed him to still be with people, though not as a person with dignity. He was at least still, in a very small and painful way, part of the community. But his demons separated him from that, driving him out into the wilds, where he lived without clothes, without home, without people, only wandering the tombs with 3,000 to 6,000 tormentors. And then Jesus shows up in a boat. One can assume that legion knows that Jesus will heal the man, so he makes the first move, announcing who he is and begging for a lighter sentence. Rather than being ordered back into the abyss, he asks if he can go in that herd of swine over there. Jesus agrees, and the demons enter the swine immediately, and the pigs run off right off a cliff, drowning in the water below. Because that's what demons do. Their intention is to destroy life. Whether it is the man who has been cut off from everything and wanders his tomb home naked, or the pigs previously grazing on the hillside, the intention is to destroy. After the pigs run off the cliff, they have not only destroyed the lives of the herd, but also the livelihood of the farmers that owned them, causing a ripple effect in the community. And that's kind of what happened here. After the swineherd saw what happened, they told everyone, both in the city and the country, and all the people came to see and were filled with great fear. The man they formerly knew as possessed was now in his right mind and clothed. Clearly, he had changed, and in this, a whole herd of pigs were made to throw themselves off a cliff, so it really wasn't that comforting to the community as a whole. At least before this, they knew the demons were in the man, and they could chain him up in the community and keep, or he would just be out in the tombs at a safe distance from them. And while I'm sure there were many people in the community that hoped that he would somehow, someday, be free from this torment, at least for the larger community, it gave a sense of comfort. Or as David Lowe says, it was the devil that they knew. It could be kept in a box. But now they entered the scene with the freedom that they had not known before. They were free from legion, but that was the scariest thing of all. I find when I read Bible stories about possession, exorcism, or unclean spirits, I tend to write them off. I tend to read those stories as if the word demon has a footnote under it that says something like, evil fantasy creature from 2,000 years ago or Bible times that no longer is a thing to worry about in the modern world. I tend to write them off either as misunderstandings of medical or mental health conditions that we can outlearn ourselves from demons being a thing. And that understanding of demons fits nicely in a box that I can be comfortable with, so I can read a story like this and sleep just fine at night. I am safely removed by time and space from it, and it could not be a thing that I need to worry about. But then I read of the people's response, and that box of all this that all the scary stuff fits into is now torn apart, and its contents don't fit back in it anymore. While there is a great sense of safety and security in thinking the demons or unclean spirits are removed from today, it's really a lie. It's a lie because we all have demons. We all have things that sneak into our lives and seek to destroy. that do anything they can to pull us away from God's plan of abundant life for us and living the freedom that Jesus brings us. Whatever name your demons go by, addictions, depression, temptation, gossip or judgment, insecurities, the voice that says you're not enough or maybe too much, the ways shame and guilt call us and say it's our fault or try to convince us that we deserve whatever terrible, heartbreaking thing is occurring in our lives. Whether we hear it loudly or only as a quiet whisper, we encounter our own legions of demons all the time. And we all try to chain them up differently too. Sometimes it causes us to spend our time and mind space trying to fight it off and make it go away. Or sometimes publicly, we try to hide that it's there at all, and that disguise is consuming. Preferring the devils we know to the freedom we don't is not just something we do as individuals. It happens in a community as well. One of the biggest communal demons is scarcity, that there is not the idea that there is not enough for everyone. Our ways of fitting that demon into a box that we can feel comfortable with is to make sure that we have enough. Whether that we is our family, our church, our community, our country, or whatever subgroup of God's people we feel we need to be comfortable with. It keeps us bound to the demon of scarcity and away from the freedom that there is really enough, that we just have to share it. And God gives us guides to live by, to live into this freedom. Some of the most notable are the Ten Commandments, the Great Commandment to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Or in Matthew 25, there are more detailed guides of what communal freedom looks like. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the immigrant, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned. Living in the freedom of God that God freely gives happens communally when we love and care for one another, especially those struggling with life's greatest demons. But rather than clinging to the evils that we know and hope that it stays confined in a box that we are comfortable with. There's a brokenness in each of us and in every community, that legion or whatever name the demon goes by. And there they are, seeking to destroy in big or little ways, however they can. When we are finally freed from them, we find ourselves, like the man, begging Jesus to just take us with him. Just stay as close as we can to that source of redemption, and then the evils can never come back. But that's not the life that God intends for us either. We are always to be in relationship with God, but we are also to live in the world that God created and called good. To be with all of God's people and share the good news of freedom and hope and restoration and love and grace and healing with people who have not experienced it or whose lives are clouded by demons and despair, who long for a different reality that even seems imaginable right now. Today's gospel story beckons us to be free from the chains of whatever demons imprison us. That freedom does not come by us finding a way to nicely package it so it seems manageable. It comes from living into the freedom that only God can offer and does so freely in grace and love, because that's who God is. And then we are called to go out and tell about it. Tell of the ways that God has met you on the shorelines of demons and despair and freed you to a life that seems unimaginable. Amen.